Hey, everybody, this is Stelly FD.
And this is Heaton Shah. And today on the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about how to do sales when you're a self-service product.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Done. Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
So we had somebody ask you that. Is that right?
Yeah, somebody sent me an email and basically said that they're a huge fan of the podcast. We love you back. Thanks for listening. And that he's been reading a ton of my content and has been enjoying it, but asked basically, hey, can the two of us talk about how to think about selling and sales and how to optimize for sales when you don't have a sales team and you don't want to reach out to customers? He has a self-service SaaS product that is very inexpensive, that's kind of very focused on prosumers, let's say. And he was saying, you know, how does he use some of these tactics of sales, you know, in a way that's more automated, that's more self-serve? And I thought, A, it's a great question. B, I don't have a lot of experience in this when it comes to the self-service world, but you do. So I have some because, you know, a fair chunk of close customers are self-serve. Not all of them do we reach out to and have a sales conversation with. But I thought it would be a fun topic to unpack and hopefully useful to him. So, you know, when you were building products, Heaton, and I've never asked you, but FYI, is that a product that you envision at some point having a sales team, or is this a full self-service product? That's what I would assume, right?
Yeah, it'll be self-service for a while, for sure.
Yeah, what are some of the top level thoughts that you have when you're trying to optimize for sales when it's full self-service?
Well, your interface is selling. So you want to find the opportunities to get people to pay by pushing some buttons, essentially, right? So,
right.
And you want to do that in a way that's super natural to them, not just like upgrade buttons. So in the past, you could have an upgrade button somewhere in the interface, usually like in the top right of the navigation next to your face. And people would click it and upgrade, and you get a decent amount of upgrades from that. These days, people are pretty numb to buttons that say upgrade. And so what you really want to do is think through how can you contextually give them more and an opportunity to get more once they've gotten some amount of value. And if you're a trial product, this applies. And if you're a freemium product, this applies. And so what I mean by this is basically I'll give an example from the CRM. Let's say the CRM has, I'll start with a free plan, has a free plan. And you can have up to 100 contacts in the free plan, let's say. And you're getting value from it. You're using the CRM as a user. And what you see is you see these CTAs to help you do more in the workflow or in the process of the sort of task that you're doing with the product. So if you're sitting there and you're adding contacts, you could always see a counter that's showing how many contacts that you currently have and how that fares against the 100 limit. And then you can say, want more contacts, you know, upgrade, right? Ideally, it's like, you know, you're getting close to having 100 and then the CTA could change to say, you're almost past your amount of contacts in your current plan, upgrade, right? So that's like a really simple example, but we can get more advanced and say in the interface, let's say there's a profile page for each contact or contact like details. There could be a button that says call this contact and, you know, record the call. And then if you hit it, it could show like a modal that tells you about this upgrade feature and say, this is available on paid plans. Here's the value you're going to get. You might even show the contact's face and, you know, make it feel like, you know, they could almost do it. And then you would show a credit card form if they said that they wanted it and then they would pay and then they'd be upgraded. So this idea of like contextual in the product while someone's using it is the key. And the ideal way, and this is what people don't usually tell you when they talk about these upgrades, is that you are making it so that it's something that people want that they might not be able to get yet or they can't get yet. And the more the more incentivized they are in using the product, the more incentivized they're going to be in buying it. And so the 100 contact limit is an interesting one. What would be more interesting is if you let them somehow or got them somehow more value. So imagine if instead of saying, you know, you're hitting your 100 contact limit, you could say, we've found 10 people you should contact based on the 100 that you have in the system or the 50 you've already added. And, you know, upgrade to get them in the system so that you can outreach to them. So that would be way better because you're giving a very contextual CTA saying, we know something. And you wouldn't necessarily say that you know this or all that. It's just like new people to reach out to. So it's almost like, okay, right now I'm using this product. I have to manually add all these people, but the product and one of the features is that it will do prospecting for me and find me opportunities and people that I should be contacting. So that would be a more contextual, proper CTA. That's also similar to what I would do on a free trial. A free trial is a little different because you've likely at least signed up and you know that the time's going to run out. So, you know, what you're really trying to do during a free trial before the time runs out is one, give people value, enough value that they want to upgrade. Okay, that's cool. But two, the thing that I see people not thinking about is get upgrades from people before the trial is over. And that's a really powerful. So what you want to think through is, are there things you can provide people to accelerate the timeline of them paying you? And are there features that are only available after they pay? You almost treat it like a freemium product in a way, or is there an accelerator or some boost that you give them now? So again, the example I gave of like, here are contacts for you and prospects for you. That's really cool. That's something that I could see a free trial product offering to accelerate and boost some, the ability for someone to sell. And thus they would buy it. So it would increase the user's likelihood of purchase in a shorter period of time than when the trial is over. That's a little trickier and there's a lot of nuances to that, but, and that's probably a whole podcast or blog post or something, but that concept is kind of what I would share about free trials, which is you, if you treat a free trial like freemium and your goal is to boost the, or accelerate the sale so that it happens before the trial's over, that would be the key there. And it can be done in the same way as being super contextual about the upgrade prompts.
I love that. So, you know, most of the things that you said, I just want to highlight that, you know, you can build these things where the product is basically prospecting and communicating an opportunity for a user to upgrade and get more value out of the product at the right time and in the right context. You can do that in the product. You can additionally do that in email, right? You could set up drip emails that are contextual and behavioral. So based on what type of things a user does on your product, you could pre-write emails that are basically a sales pitch of sort, right? And they get sent to the customer, telling them about new opportunities, telling them about what they're going to get if they purchase, telling them about all kinds of things that you want to tell them. And the same thing applies to your website, right? A lot of times, and this is actually an episode that I have on the docket for us to talk about, Heaton, which is good copywriting, right? Copywriting is something that I would advise somebody that has a self-service product to read more about and learn more about. So not just how to make your website look really beautiful. I know that a lot of content marketing tips that are out there today, especially in SaaS, are more about building an audience and getting people's emails. So it's much more about blog content and content on social media and stuff like that, video and all that. But what I'm referring to is the actual copy on your website that is trying to communicate to me what this is, why I need this, and why I should take the next action, what the next action is. And in some cases, if you're really smart, the copy might be prospecting me in some way, right? It might be saying things that will turn away bad potential customers and that will draw in the right type of customers instead of trying to draw in everybody. So I think my final tip, I mean, Heaton, you really crush it with kind of giving people all these ideas on what to do in the self-service part. I think my tip at the end of this episode, more generically, would be learn more about copywriting. You know, read a bunch of books, read a bunch of articles, and really look at your website copy and see, you know, if this was a presentation, a salesperson, if those were words that a salesperson would speak to another human, how persuasive are these words? How influential, how convincing, and how focused are these words, not just on explaining everything, but actually truly convincing and selling somebody of the value that you can provide to them?
Yeah. No, that's really good. I think the framing and the value prop and copy has to speak to the people who are going to pay, right?
There you go. So
that's important.
All right. That's it from us for this episode. We'll hear you very soon.